We thank you for your grace that gives us the power, the motivation, all the things that we need, Lord, to do your will, to persevere in your will, to endure. And Lord, I just pray that we would take hold of every opportunity that you give us, Lord, to move forward in becoming more like you, to move forward in your plan of redemption and salvation. Lord, we do need your help. I need your help, Lord. I want to hear your words tonight, Lord, and speak them. Please prepare my heart and everyone else here. Prepare their heart as well, Lord, to receive a portion of you. A portion of you. That's the important thing tonight, Lord. It's not that we necessarily get the doctrine right or that everything, you know, all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, but that we get a portion of you. That's the important thing. So I pray, Lord, that our hearts and minds would be prepared and ready for that, ready for you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. And thank you for what you will be doing tonight. Guide us by your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, thank you that Stan and Lisa and Anna made it back safely. And just pray that you would give them rest from their trip and ready to go for the week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so what is our subject tonight of the 52 kingdom topics? What is it? Now, you've had hints all day. Sunday morning, today, tonight. No.
Are we supposed to guess, or is it a continuance of last week?
No, it's not a continuance. It's a new subject of the 52 kingdom topics. So, no, it's not the resurrection. No. No. Okay. Remember, alphabetical order, and we're done with the D's. The D's are done. So it's an E.
Evangelism.
No. No. There you go. Eagle's wings. Now, if you recall, we had a lot of hits with Eagle's wings this morning. The last song for worship was what? Eagle's wings. Pastor talked about what? Eagle's wings, among other things. The song didn't say Eagle's wings, but it was the Eagle's song. Okay. Eagle's wings. Yes. Eagle's wings. All right. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. And we'll see what God has to say about Eagle's wings. Okay. God's telling the Israelites. He says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt." Talking about the plagues that he brought up on Egypt. "And how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." God carried the Israelites out of Egypt on eagle's wings. Eagle's wings. Anybody have any idea what that means? To be carried out by eagle's wings? You don't have to have the right answer. Just what do you think it means? What does it bring to mind to you to be carried out by eagle's wings? What is that? Okay, you're flying. Yes, all right, flying. Yeah. Okay, yeah. You're just riding, right. Yeah, you don't have to do any work. It's being done for you. God, when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, he did it all. He brought the plagues. He did everything. And all they had to do was just walk. Okay, yeah, yeah. That's good. Anybody else? Sandy?
Fearlessly face the storms.
To fearlessly face the storms, yes. Fearlessly. You're not afraid because you're on those eagle's wings. Okay, good, good. So God has eagle's wings that he uses. Okay, obviously it's referring to the eagle, and the eagle, and the eagle, when they get together, the male and the female, and they had their eggs and their babies. I was doing a little research on it, and both the father, the male and the female, both take care of the eggs and feed the eggs. They have a, I think like in the beginning, it's the, oh, if I get this right, I don't remember. I think it's the the male who gets the food most of the time while the female sits on the eggs. And then as it progresses, when the eggs are about to hatch, it kind of switches where they're both doing it kind of the same time, 50-50. And then toward the end, it's the male that sits on the eggs most of the time, and the female is going to get the food. Even after they hatch, the female is the one that's mostly getting the food. I wonder if that has anything to do with women being in the kitchen or something. No, never mind. Should you believe that? Probably should. But anyway, they both take care of the what they call the fledglings, is what they're called once they hatch. And obviously at the beginning, the parents are doing everything. The parents are feeding them, taking care of, protecting them, keeping them safe from predators. And even as they grow, even as they get bigger and bigger and begin to kind of do for themselves, the parents are still helping them along. And then guess what begins to happen? Mama says it's time to go. So they begin to nudge them, to nudge them out, to nudge them to try their own wings. And even after they get them to fly a little bit, they still stay with the family. They still stay with mom and dad, the fledglings do. And mom and dad even still feed them, even after they can fly themselves. And the fledglings learn how to catch fish and how to fly and all of that. And the parents teach them all of these things. And then at some point, then as they get to maturity, the parents say, okay, that's it. You're on your own now. And then they go off to do what God has intended them to do. Eagle's wings. God brought Egypt out of, God brought the Israelites out of Egypt on eagle's wings, he says here. And as Mark said, yeah, they didn't have to do anything. All they had to do was obey God and which way to walk out of Egypt toward the promised land. The Lord uses eagle wings for us. When we come to Christ, Christ draws us, God draws us to Christ. And we see him and we say, yes, Lord, not only do I want you to be my Savior, I want you to be my Lord. In a sense, God takes us in eagle's wings, or takes us like the parent eagle takes the fledgling. Because in a sense, we are fledglings. We don't know anything. Maybe some of us are still in that category, like me. But we don't know anything, and we're clueless to what's going on. We don't know how to, quote unquote, feed ourselves. We don't know how to take care of ourselves in the things of God. We don't know exactly what the parents want or what they're looking for. All we know is that, you know, feed me, you know, I want, and God kind of provides, you know, and it's pretty easy going. But at some point, just like with the mother eagle starts nudging you to the edge of the nest and says, okay, it's time to fly on your own. It's time to fly on your own. Eagle's wings, that concept of having eagle's wings and God taking us in, and we know we're familiar with Isaiah 40:31. Okay. Bill, if you can turn there. We're very familiar with that, you know, if we grow weary, the young man, if he grows weary, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, just like the little chick in the nest. They can't do anything except wait on mama or daddy to bring them their food. We wait on the Lord, and if we all do, what happens? He brings us our food, he renews our strength, and we will soar on wings like eagles, okay? The same concept that God has for us. And everybody likes that. Everybody likes it. I like it. Wait on the Lord. He's going to give me my strength. He's going to renew my strength. I'm going to soar like an eagle. God wants us to soar like eagles. But I think just like the eagle, the fledgling that, you know, his mama is nudging him toward the edge, and, you know, eagles build their nest way, way, way up there. Usually in the top of trees, like at the very top of tall pines or trees, or on the cliff on some, you know, rocky cliff or somewhere. One, you know, obviously it's good protection for their babies, their fledglings. But it also gives them commands so they can see, so the parents can see what's going on. And when God begins to nudge us, we don't like it. We don't like it at all. But before I go into this part that we don't like, let me explain something else about eagles. God, in His Word, mentions eagles a few times. And there's a couple places where He talks about eagles, or mentions eagles. Look at Job 39, starting at verse 27. Here's something in the Bible that's, you know, when you read it, you think, okay, God's talking about eagles doing something here. It says, does the eagle soar at your command and build his nest on high? He dwells on a cliff and stays there at night. A rocky crag is his stronghold. For there he seeks out his food, his eyes detect it from afar. His young ones feast on blood, and where the slain are, there is he. Or where the carcass is, there is he. Now there's another verse that refers to this one, and it's Matthew 24, verses 27, 28. Come on in, ladies. Have a seat. It's all right. Talking about the eagle. The eagle. For as lightning comes from the east, for as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, again, so this in the context is talking about Jesus coming back on his return. And it says, wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Let's go to the New King James. It has, I think, a better... they say vultures here. You can say either vultures or eagles, but I think eagles is the more appropriate word in the New King James. Okay, so for wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Wherever the what is a carcass?
Dead body,
dead meat, right? Yuck. For an eagle, that's yum. Yeah. So the eagles are gathered at this dead body. Again, the context is Christ coming back. The eagles are gathered at the dead body. Now, what is Jesus referred to, particularly in Revelation, in terms of something dead? Louder. Yes, the slain lamb is referenced three times as the slain lamb. Now, that's an interesting connotation that is given by God. Let's look at one of them. Revelation 13:8. Revelation 13:8. Jesus is represented as the slain lamb. Now, he's slain, right? He has been slain. He died on the cross, crucified on the cross. So he was slain. He shed blood and so forth. But we know he rose again. He's alive. But yet, God in this symbology is referring to him as the slain lamb. And the inhabitants of the world will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. Let's do another one. Revelation 5:6. And if you can get kind of 6 and 12 on there together, on the same screen, that'll be great. Here's another couple of verses. Then I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by four living creatures and the elders. And it goes on. And then in 12, can you go to 12? 12. In a loud voice, they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor, glory, and praise." Jesus is referred to the slain lamb. Slain lamb. A slain lamb. If you came up on a slain lamb, what would you call it? Dead. Or carcass. Right? All right. Dead body. You've got eagles. Where are the eagles gathered? On the carcass. Around the carcass. In Job, what do the eagles feast on? What? Blood. They feast on blood, and they're around the carcass. When Jesus comes and knocks on your door, says, "Let me come in and sup with you," what does he feed us with?
His body and blood.
He feeds us with his carcass, if you will. The slain lamb. He's feeding his fledglings, his eagles, just like the parent eagle is feeding their fledglings. We are the eagles. But initially, the eagle's wings come from God. But yet, as he feeds us with his blood and his body, he expects us at some point to start flapping our own wings and to start finding our own food, if you will. What did Jesus say to the disciples? "I will make you what?
Fishers of men."
Fishers of men. Fishers of men. One of the favorite foods of eagles is fish. Yep, it's fish. I looked it up. That's what they said. That's their favorite food is fish. Now, they'll eat the other, you know, carrion carcasses, dead, you know, that they find, or even things that they kill, you know, mice or whatever. But their favorite, yeah, what? Gophers, as they find them, yeah. Rabbits, everything.
Sheep, too.
Yes.
They're known to pick up sheep.
If it's small enough, yes. Yeah, if it's small enough, yes, they will. And as a matter of fact, I saw a clip of a golden eagle, take out a small deer. Now, it didn't pick it up. It was much too heavy for that, but it killed it. So, the eagles. We're the eagles. We're the ones that are gathered around the slain lamb. So the connotation is there. As Mark said, you know, God takes us up in eagle's wings as he did the Israelites. And he said, because we didn't have anything to do. There was nothing to do. Everything was being given to us. That's how we like God. We want to ride on the eagle's wings. We want to glide on the eagle's wings, his eagle's wings. And we don't like to be nudged into things that we know not about, that we know might be scary, or we know that might cause problems for us. But God has a purpose. He has a purpose for us to fly, as the song said, to glide on the wind. To soar above, someone else said, not be afraid. Yeah, I think Sandy, not be afraid of the storms. But not be afraid of the storms because Mama Eagle's got us. But not be afraid of the storms because we've learned from Mama Eagle not to be afraid and to use it to our advantage, to fly, to glide. Eagle's wings. How this translates into Christendom today. We're very familiar, we're very schooled, if you will, on the idea that Jesus did it all. He's done it for us. All we got to do is believe, and man, we're in. We're in like Flint. You ever heard of that phrase? Huh. Old school. But we believe that, hey, we don't have to do anything else. We can sit fat, and just wait, open our mouths, chirp, 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 while Mama Bird puts it in her mouth, while God puts it in her mouth, while God does everything, and all we do is relax and not have to worry about anything. It's kind of taught in the phrase of imputed righteousness. Now, imputed righteousness, what is imputed righteousness, first of all, before we go on? What is imputed righteousness? What does imputed mean?
Righteousness that is assigned.
Righteousness that is assigned. Yes, Sir Benny. Good. Righteousness that is assigned. It means that God calls you righteous, regardless of whether you are or not. He calls you right. He imputes it to you. It's like God calling us holy, but yet there's still unholy stuff in us. Okay? He's assigned it to you. He says, you are righteous. And the church is, man, they grab hold of that and they go with it. And it's good and it's right and it's true. Initially, God comes to you and says, will you come and be my son, be my child? You say yes. And he says, okay, you are righteous now. It's imputed. It's the eagle's wings, if you will. You didn't have to do anything for it other than to say, yes, I'll come and be yours. But then the church wants to stay there and say, that's all you need. Imputed righteousness. It's assigned to you. You're righteous. You're holy in God's eyes. That's how he sees you no matter what. And you've got to, well, I'm going to say in like Flint again, but you'll understand what that means. You're a shoe-in for the goal. And what's the goal that most Christians think? Heaven. That's right. You're a shoe-in for heaven. You're done. You're on the eagle's wings. You're good to go. Unfortunately, according to the scripture, according to even just in the life of an eagle that I already explained, you can't stay in the nest. No, sorry, Hadassah. Can't stay in the nest. At some point, you're going to have to get out and fly. And that's where we get into problems. That's where I get into problems. I still want to stay in the nest with God. God is not looking for people who are still sinful and have a sinful nature, but yet have been assigned or imputed righteousness. He's looking for what?
Righteousness.
Actual righteousness, correct. Actual. In other words, you are someone who is actually soaring on your own. That means you're actually behaving righteously. You actually have a nature that is becoming righteous. Okay? That's what God's goal is. He wants every one of his little eagles, his little fledglings, to eventually soar on their own, catch their own food, build their own nest, and begin to train their little babies, their little fledglings, to do the same. To be righteous. I guess another word I'm looking for is, I'm trying to put this together, is maturity. A baby, we know a baby is immature, right? Baby can't fly, baby can't take care of itself, can't feed itself, can't do anything. Immature. Human babies, we know, fortunately they don't feast on blood or dead bodies, but they feast on what?
Milk.
Or baby food. But initially, milk. Initially, milk. Because that's all they can handle. And who gives it to them? Do they go crawl into the refrigerator, throw it open, and drag down a bottle and drink it? Yep. What happens? What? Mom gives it to them? Yeah, mom gives it to them. Mom feeds them. Mom gives them all the food that they need, all the milk that they need. Now, what if baby is now 10 years old? And baby says, wah, 10 years old. Mama comes running with the bottle, throws the baby on his lap, on her lap, and plops it in his mouth. What would you think? Keto. Keto, don't talk. So what? What would you think about that? Either mama's got a problem, and the baby definitely has a problem, or the 10-year-old child has a problem, right? Yeah. We would expect the 10-year-old now to be eating some meat or, you know, eating solid food and going to the refrigerator by himself and getting a drink of water or whatever, right? Now, there's still, I mean, mom still needs to cook some food, right? I mean, he prepares dinner and stuff like that. So mom's still doing some things, but we're, what's our papa? Yes. Our papa. That's true. Mama eagle and the papa eagle do share duties. Yes. So then let's say the boy now is 17. Obviously we wouldn't expect him to still be depending on mama, okay, for everything. Now, maybe for the roof over their head, maybe for, you know, what's that? Oh, okay. I thought you added something else. You know, clothing or something like that. But now let's say Junior is now 25. And he still has his pacifier. there might be some cases like that. So he's 25. Now what will we expect Junior to be doing this time? Be working, getting his own money, paying for his own clothes, paying for his own gas, paying for, you know, if he's still at home, that's nothing wrong with being still at home. But still, he would be contributing, wouldn't he? He wouldn't just be saying, Mama cook my food, Mama buy my clothes, Mama make my bed, that kind of thing. Shouldn't be, right? Mr. Benny is so well said. He should be buying Mama and Papa food and clothes now. Uh-oh. No smiling over here, huh? On the front row. You're not laughing. Okay. You are laughing. Yeah, we would expect a little bit more maturity, that they would be doing things on their own. And, of course, eventually, we're going to look at Junior, would eventually find an own mate, get out of the house with his own mate, and then have his own life, his own nest, if you will, his own fledglings to deal with and train. God expects maturity out of us. Look at Hebrews 5:11, starting in 5:11. He takes us with eagle wings at first. He takes us with eagle wings that says, I've got you. I've got you. Don't worry about anything. And we don't. Lord, help. Lord, I need this. Lord. You know, I mean, sometimes we can, if we're older in the faith, we can kind of look at, you know, these little fledglings and think, why don't they grow up? God's not saying that. God's saying, this is my little fledgling. I still need to carry him a little while longer. I carried you. You know, if you think about it, how long has God carried us? Or maybe even still carrying us? Me. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, a baby, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. What if the baby fledgling, the baby eagle, as it grows up and learns some things, but doesn't learn to avoid certain predators? Instead of flying around, it's kind of waddling on the ground all the time, looking for mice or rabbits. What's going to happen to that young, immature eagle? One will probably starve to death.
A lion
will probably attack it, yes. A predator will get it, and its life probably wouldn't last very long. It needs to mature. It needs to be able to flap those wings and get up in the air and search out that meal and go and get that rabbit or get that fish. But Paul's here, whoever wrote Hebrews is saying, you need milk now. You still need milk. Still on God's eagle wings. You're not going with the Spirit in terms of maturity. He said you ought to be teaching. You ought to be eating solid food. See, these eagles are still in the nest. These eagles are still acting like fledglings who need mama to feed them every day. And God is saying, no. It's time to move on. It's time to go for the meat, for the solid food. God expects maturity. God expects us to move on into his image. The image of God. Image of Jesus. That's where he wants us to go. Look at Romans 8:4. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be made fully met in us, we do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. According to the Spirit. Why would we live according to the Spirit?
While they're thinking about that, Bill, could you go down to verses 12, 13, 14?
Why would we need to live according to the Spirit? Think of it in the context of our eagle analogy.
The life will be eaten by the predators.
Okay, we'll be eaten by the predators if we don't live according to the Spirit. So what is the Spirit's duty for our job? What does the Spirit help us do? Train us, yes. Train us. Let's look at 12, 13 and 14 of Romans 8. Sorry, is that me? Sorry. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. If you waddle on the ground as an eagle, you're going to die. Just as sure as you're waddling on the ground, you're going to die. If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, why are we to live by the Spirit? Okay, louder, Sarah.
To put to death the misdeeds of your body.
Okay. All right. And so what is that helping us do? What is that by putting to death those misdeeds? Those. Okay. All right. The maturity. We mature in Christ. Exactly. We mature in Christ. It's that mother eagle, if you will, teaching the fledgling how to live. And so one part of how to live is to get rid of the things that hinder us, the things that might, in quote unquote, kill us. And the other thing is to grow in maturity by learning from the Holy Spirit. To live according to the Spirit. To live according to the Spirit. God's goal is for us to live by His Spirit so that He can get rid of the sin, the sinful nature, the things that would hinder us, the immaturity, to continue in our analogy of the fledgling, to grow us up so that we are full-grown eagles gliding on the wind. How many have seen an eagle or a hawk that's just gliding out way high, not even flapping their wings? They're just gliding up there. And those that lived in the Midwest, if you happen to see that, a lot of times they'll be doing it in the face of a storm coming. And they're not running away because they have no fear of it. As a matter of fact, they use it to stay up in the air because of the way the wind, the heat comes up. That's what God wants, the maturity to face the storm with your eagle's wings. And that's not taking anything away from God. God is still there, obviously. He's the one that provides the wind. He's the one that's teaching us. Yeah. But we need to move on. We need to move on so that righteousness is a part of us. The eagles, the fledglings, the young eagles feast on the blood and on the dead body. I know it sounds kind of gross, but that's what God wants. What did Jesus say to his disciples? This is when he had a whole bunch of them. Not just 12. Bill, if we can go to John 6:53. He had a bunch of disciples, like over 100. And of course, they were all kind of hanging around for some more bread. And so he's talking to them about real bread. And he says, I've got bread. But he says, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood,
you eagles, you. You will have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. There's a purpose for the young fledgling to eat the flesh, the slain lamb, the carcass. There's a reason for them to be gathered around. This is the reason. So you can be raised up on the last day, that first resurrection. In maturity, ready to soar, to glide on the wind with a capital W, the wind of the Holy Spirit. Eagle's wings. God takes us on eagle's wings. We don't have to do anything initially. But that's just the beginning. He says, okay, now let me train you. This is not too hard. Come on, you can do it. Spread out those wings there a little bit. Flap them, you know, get them strong. You can do it now. A little closer to the edge. All right, come on. You can do it. Flap them a little harder. All right, come on. Kick. Flap, 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 flap. But he's right with us. Sometimes in my research, the eagle, the little fledgling, will sometimes fall out of the nest. But the parents, I mean, they don't pick them up and put them back in the nest, but they still, they protect them. They're around them. They still feed the fledgling, even though it's on the ground. And, of course, the hope is that no predator comes around to get it, but they still feed it. So just like that, God is with us when he gives us that kick. He gives us that nudge to start testing our own wings, to start soaring on our own wings. He's right with us. And when we stumble or when we can't quite, just like in real life with these fledglings, they don't jump out and then all of a sudden they're flying just like mom and daddy, you know. They struggle and they, you know, they can't quite get their wings to do what they want, you know, until they learn, until they get more comfortable. Same with us. Eagle's wings from God. They're the start for us. They're the help for us in the beginning. But God wants us to soar. God wants us to be in maturity. God wants us to be so full of his blood, his flesh, his bread, him being the bread, that on the last day he can raise us up. Because see, Jesus is not going to come back and say, okay, abracadabra, come up out of the grave. And then because you were imputed righteousness or you made a profession for Christ, you know, up you jump. He's actually going to come back and say, Adassah, I'm taking what's in you of me and I'm taking it to myself. That's how you're going to get raised up on the last day. He's going to take back the blood and the flesh, the portion of himself that he gave to you. He's going to take that back to himself. And if it's in you, guess what? You're up. On your feet, in the resurrection, in power, glory. Amen. That's where we want to be. That's where God wants us to be. So when you think of eagle's wings, yes, it is a help for us. As in Isaiah 40, 31, wait on the Lord and he will renew our strength so that we can soar on eagle's wings like the eagles. But understand, it's eagle's wings that he wants to give to you to make you a mature eagle. Full of him. Full of righteousness. Actual holiness. Any questions? Comments? How are your eagle wings? Carrie, we got?
Yesterday I was thinking about... Well, I was praying for someone, and I felt like the Lord said they had clipped wings. They had clipped wings. And thinking about what you're saying now, we can clip our own wings because of our fear, mm-hmm. or because of our anxiety, and not do that. You know, I can't. You know, and that's why it's so deadly.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Yep. Yeah, we can rely on Daddy and Mama. In a sense that we don't mature. God wants us to mature in him. Righteousness, holiness, in ourselves. Anything else? Thanks, Carol. All right, you ready to flex those eagle wings? Oh, yeah, that's right, communion, yes. Okay, wow. Fits appropriately, doesn't it? Feeding on the blood, bread. Amen. It's got to be God. It's got to be God. I mean, because we're just going in order here on the 52 topics, and it's eagle wings. And I mean, I didn't know, you know, Bob Bertelli was going to choose eagle's wings for the song at the end, and the pastor was going to talk about it, and even the, you know, Carol and the offering song and all that, talking about again that idea of, you know, having a clean heart and maturity, and God's putting His finger on things on us. Yeah, that's God. Yeah, yeah, it's God. It's definitely God.
Yes, He is. We are not surprised.
No, we're not surprised.
He is.
What was it, last week? Talked about perseverance and endurance. That's what I'm saying. On Sunday we did. But yeah, that was the thing that we talked about it here. And we're all here in the Lord. That's wonderful. Is that me? Yeah, it's so wonderful to hear as you read things, you know, about the slain lamb and then Jesus talking about eating His flesh, and then this comment, you know, in Matthew 24 when I first heard it about the eagles gathering around eating the carcass and all that. And I thought, what in the world does that have to do with anything? And then...
You know, what does the slain lamb look like? He's there. You know, I mean, I was just trying to picture him because I try to picture what I'm reading about. You know, like, okay, Lord, what's the slain lamb? What do you look like, a slain lamb? And the wrath of the lamb. I don't know.
But, you know, it fits together. Then you realize it's not, I mean, it's a connection. It's just not something thrown in there as a, oh, by the way, I'll just throw this, you know, verse in here. You realize that we're the eagles. We're the ones that are gathered around the slain lamb and feeding on Him. You know, we don't like to think of Jesus as somebody we're feeding on, but that's what He encourages. That's what He's saying. Drink My blood, eat My flesh. Because then you have My life in you. You gain eternal life. Yes, sir.
Isn't there a scripture that says the life is in the blood?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is that referring to the blood of Jesus?
Or? No, it's when in the Old Testament, when He's talking to them about the laws, he tells them not to eat the animals with the blood still in it, because it's the life is in the blood. So in other words, He says, don't eat strangled animals because the blood was not drained. So don't eat that. And basically to drain the blood, don't eat the blood with the animal because the life is in the blood.
Okay.